spilling beans out there. Welcome to another entertaining episode of One Shot. I'm your host, Big Bees, your happy, helpful harbinger of hype. My pronouns are he, him, and we're here with part four, our finale of Gunfucks by Dira Slattery. Gunfucks is a Borderlands-inspired awesome time with face wrecking and treasure collecting. If you missed the first three episodes, please stop what you're doing and go give those things a listen. No rush, I'm just working on some pixel art Pokemon. DM me when you're ready to continue. Oh, you're all caught up? Nice, let's blow this popsicle stand.
Deborah at this point is still tumbling through the air, physicsing out. So the first question that I have is, are there any, when I land, are there any bullets that I can land on to pick up some more?
I would say yeah. You're not getting yeeted far. You're just getting kind of blasted a little bit up.
Great.
So I would say you can look around, use your little dress to float down and
well,
land on
Well, we're floor. Not going to be floating down. So in the middle of like this tumbling and whatnot through the air, I undergo like a Bayonetta-esque costume change sequence, like revealing my electric armor. So the sparks start to surround me and the dress sort of burns away. And we can see that underneath she's wearing what is a bikini that has little Tesla coils on her, covering her nipples and breasts, and a little Tesla coil covering the G-string, coming out of the G-string that's covering her genitals. But the rest of it is just her skin. And we can see that she's got like a very clear like tan line where her face and her hands are kind of exposed to the sun, but everything else is a much paler green, and her body is covered in tattoos.
I wasn't expecting green.
Her body is covered in tattoos that were clearly at one point tattoos of like kind of sexy dudes and ladies in cheesecake poses, but there's so much wrinkled skin that they all kind of look like sad ghosts now. And it's really hard to tell, like, she's actually doing, like, gymnastic moves in the air now, like a little bit like of Yuna's poses from Final Fantasy X-2, but her body is so round that, like, it's really hard to give her credit for that. She does land in, like, a three-point landing pose with having switched weapons to her Toil and Trouble dual revolvers. You know, and just whatever the nearest enemy is at this point, she's just going to unload at them with these revolvers.
She looks like an angry tumbleweed of yams.
I would like to think that the three-point landing is the legs and then the essential Tesla codpiece that you have there with the arms out with the two... Just ready to go.
So the question is, what stat am I rolling for this attack here?
You know what? I hate to admit it, but that's pretty cool.
Damn. Okay. All right.
That is pretty cool.
I will roll.
If you can always argue for something else. I'm down for that.
You know, I have to honor the game. You know, if it's it's cool. And hey, I roll a six anyway, so it doesn't matter. And that one die, I did get a six.
And what are you aiming for?
I'm just the closest enemy. This gun uses non-Euclidean damage, so I don't think I get a bonus or a drawback for any of that, because most of them seemed like electric and ice enemies left.
Yeah, so I'll say that you landed next to the Ice Guardian, and you just ba-ba.
Right, burn and bubble!
And what comes out of that gun?
Okay, Let's see. So it's non-Euclidean, it's toil and trouble. I think it's just like bolts of hot soup that like burn. Like I think the chamber of this gun looks like just cauldrons that are rotating. It's just a revolver of like some horrible witch's brew. So it blasts out and they melt away almost like acid, whatever God. Flesh they touch.
So yeah, so I think it's kind of like the scene from RoboCop where a guy just gets hit and that just goes down. So he is just, all you hear are screams, gargles, and he is gone.
Excellent.
Oh wait, how much damage does it do? I'm sorry.
So it does 2 non-Euclidean damage.
Okay. So he is actually not down. He is just screaming in pain. As a good chunk of his flesh.
That's
is
worse.
Gone.
You now, realize got, how I that's mean, worse.
I do have a question here, Bees,
yes.
And that is
yes.
How do stacks build? Is it only based on like quirks of certain weapons that you're building stacks, or does that happen any other way?
It should specify.
Okay, like, it'll specify.
If it'll tell you, you know, whatever, you know, do this and it'll build a stack, and then after. Like you can remove all the the stacks. Let me see if I can get it.
Yeah, so
yeah, I've got an ability that uses built stacks, but nothing that builds stacks. So I was just checking in. Okay.
You mean the Cynado ability?
Yes. It's,
you mark a stack whenever you activate another power. So if you use anything else, it gains a stack.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay. So there I do have one stack at least then, because I did activate that other ability. Let's see. So then,
you know what? Actually, put 2 stacks because I think that Bayonetta transformation should count as a power.
Oh, hell yeah!
That just revealing my armor. Sure. Yeah. Well, then that'll hopefully be enough to use Cynado next round. Unless, can I activate abilities separate from attacks?
Yeah, you can activate as many abilities as you want.
Mm-hmm. Great. Then let's start doing Cynado. Whenever you activate another power, to activate this ability, deal 1 non-Euclidean harm to all near enemies, or do 3 non-Euclidean harm at 10 stacks. I don't have that, so I'm just going to activate a Cynado. So I guess when she lands, she is doing a. What is it? A Gungrave-esque gun dance as she is just firing off these cauldron guns in all directions, cackling as she goes. And, like, again, really have to emphasize how her breasts are, like, swirling around her with the little Tesla coils dangling on the end as she goes. The dance looks even better. God, I love the animation staff that is working on this video game because they really paid close attention. This was clearly very important to them.
The game was completed in like 6 months, but it didn't release for 2 years just to dedicate time for the physics.
Well, I think the problem was the one team that's sole purpose was to blur out things that should not have been shown on the screen, and they were all just like, they didn't know whether they should blur something, so they're all just kind of like waiting. Like, oh shit. Oh,
why did just quick question, why did we fully animate all the nipples and genitalia on her just to cover them up later? It feels like we could have skipped a step there.
It's standard procedure.
That was important. That was important detail.
One guy just stands up and slaps a coffee cup off the table. Authenticity!
It's for modders!
Storms out.
All right, so then I am back down to 5 bullets. But it depends on Bees how many enemies were nearby, because they all take a non-Euclidean damage, and that person that I fired at has another on top of the 2 that I dealt.
Yes, has an extra, yeah. So that guy is looking real, real bad. And then the other 2, like, are, you know, still charging towards you, and they get some hot soup in the face as well, and they're hurt, but not as hurt.
Great.
Definitely take damage, but they are not
not the hot soup.
Bad.
Yeah. Hot soup.
At all that cauldron reference, Russell was like really interested in all of this. He's like, "Oh, geez, wisest witch in the West, huh? What you got brewing in the old cauldron today?" And he thinks she's doing beer.
You wanna come back to my place later after we've rebuilt it? I'll show you what I'm brewing.
Well, I got a few packs of barley and hops, so I guess I could pull them over. We'll see.
I'll pull on your barley and hops. Going. You'll see.
God. Okay, I need to check. One of the bodyguards of the man in shades walked over and like drew a sword, and I need to sword fight this man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You would if he wasn't hella dead.
Okay.
Yeah. But the next guy picks up the sword. Right,
Like you're like, Tiago's like, oh, sword, hell yeah, I got a sword fight him, and then just sees a can fly at him. He grabs it. Goes to crack it open and is no longer a threat. Oh,
see, I don't see why you can't still sword fight this man.
yeah, there you go.
Maybe a little too easy.
I mean, to be fair, his body disappeared, so.
But I believe there's like snipers or whatever, and I think that's like basic shit, so. Throws the sword in the air, snaps fingers, sword changes to the snowstorm saber, and immediately he spends 2 bullets. To use Blizzard. For the rest of combat, enemies cannot make attacks at far.
Nice.
Oh, sick.
So
those snipers will have to come and say hello. I hope.
So you hear in unison just from the distance, what the fuck?
Deal with it, nerds. Did Man with Shades wander off?
No, he's slowly taking his time walking over to y'all.
Still rolling his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I think
he is definitely.
If it's at like movable range, if I can sprint up, I would love to sprint up to Mans and say hello.
You can, sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, hell yeah.
Since your bodyguard is indisposed, I think I'll have my main course now. And, it's almost like we get like a disco beat as Tiago kind of just waltzes over, fully kind of like stepping into the skull of a dead croco, like crushing it beneath heel until we reach this man. What's your name? Do you want to be my next ex-boyfriend?
You can tell by the way I do my work, I'm gonna cut a bitch.
I don't give my name to basic bitches.
Whoa! Uh-oh. Death.
Oh, hell no.
There is a beat. I think Tiago takes the shades off, the heart-shaped shades, puts it in a breast pocket. I'm gonna fucking kill you now, excuse me. And that's just the most elaborate dance moves, just Bayonetta meets Saturday Night Fever, as the sword is like dancing from all angles.
I mean, that's gotta be cool.
Oh, I would love a canny, cool. But cool is fine. They're both the same number, but I will roll a cool. I will roll a cool. That is a 5, so I do hit him. Five. It's not not an especially strong weapon, this one, so it only does 2. Mm-hmm. It only does 2 harm to him.
And what
it's
element
ice.
Again? The ice. Yeah. Okay. So you do 3.
Ooh. And, okay.
And you see like the ice contact his suit, and like a spark goat ripples through it. And he just like stumbles back, and he just, and he's like, "You want a sword fight? I got you." And like puts the magnum back, and pulls out a katana, and just looks at you.
Oh my god! I'm gonna penetrate you. I'm gonna spend blur and clear my stacks to attack again.
All right.
Y'all gonna make out or kill each other? No one knows.
Yes.
Hopefully both.
That's pretty mid. I only rolled a 3, so we do actually get a proper sword fight here. There is a reprisal of some
kind. Beautiful. So, you sit there and it just, like, everybody else can see the flashes of light from your swords just ting. And you do just this badass kind of like where you drop to your knee and slash him, and he drops, and he like comes back, but like as he stumbles back, he like pushes off the wall, does a front flip over you and slashes you as he does that, and then lands in a superhero pose and then turns and looks back at you. And so you will take two harm.
Ice harm. I do just take that. I think he has, Tiago has like long bleach blonde hair, and I think that cuts the hair length like in half, as there's just kind of like an explosion of gold hair as this hero pose lands on the other side. And for the first time, Tiago doesn't say anything.
Oh, wow. Ooh. What's Tiago's cut like now? Is this like, we got He-Man hair going on? Or?
I think we have a very severe asymmetric bob going.
Yeah.
Tiago wants to speak with the manager.
But yeah, that's me. That's my turn.
All right. So good stuff. All right, let's get that that enemy turn going there.
Butcher.
So that rumble that you heard in the background starts to get a bit louder, and you see I think Deborah. Actually, I think everybody excluding Tiago, you take one electric damage as like he calls in like this helicopter that flies over, and it's got a weird like thundercloud underneath it, and it just drops lightning.
You fool! My armor leaves no part of my body undefended.
You see it
go towards Deborah and just get sucked into the Tesla coils?
At least nothing with a pulse.
Behind Deborah, you just hear the cacophonous laughter of children, and it's just emanating out of
children,
Sally's
plural.
Mouth to like
jeez, some crumbs.
It sounds like an auditorium full of children laughing at you, and it's just one kid.
One kid and one bat, because the bat is laughing as well.
Yes.
So yeah, that is haunting, and you have electric armor on, right? So I think just the pure just terror from that scares the electricity away.
Yeah, it kind of like sinks into their braces as they laugh.
Oh god.
There's creepier than a hotel in Manitowoc, I tell you.
Thank you.
And Russell, you had ice armor on.
Yeah.
So
ice armor.
You take the one damage.
Yeah.
All right. After that. I would like to, let's see, what are we gonna do next? Because we got that the badass gets to go, or the badass on their side gets to go, and he snaps his fingers, and coming out of the ground, just like materializing, are two. They look like, the best way to describe them are, they have like hoods on, and they just come out and they have a stick in their hand. And as soon as they fully materialize, and they have like trench coats on, and as soon as they come out, they crack the stick and a whip comes out. One whip is electric, the other is ice.
Sick.
And they look really pissed off at you for some reason. Almost like
can't imagine why.
To them.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Like you fucked up what they were doing before, but who knows what that is. So those two are actually one. I'm only going to use one. One is going to crack at you with the electric whip, and that's going to be one damage.
At whom?
At you,
cool.
Tiago.
That gets absorbed. Don't interrupt me while I am putting my moves on a motherfucker.
So that happens, and it just, like, it looks real frustrated because you don't seem phased at all. The other one kind of just gets ready to attack but doesn't. And then next to Russell, one of the guardians pulls out, like, has his gun out, turns at you, and fires. And that'll be one damage, one electric damage.
One electric damage?
Yes.
Oh, jeez. That one hit me harder than an F-150 with a piano in the back.
What's your health looking like now, Russell?
A half, three. Okay.
Ooh, boy. Oof. Well, there are a bunch of dropped pills, right? So.
There's two of them.
Oh, good.
Then after that, you see the manager, the management sits there and takes his katana, flips it upside down, and just slams it into the ground. And as it does, it sends out a pulse. And anyone in melee range takes two ice damage, which is going to be Tiago, and then everyone else takes one ice damage.
See, this is why you double bag it. Two sweaters, hey?
He's like, yeah. All right. So, yeah, you don't take any damage, Russell.
I'm going to spend two bullets to activate the power on Toil and Trouble for Echo to create a clone of myself to take this damage for me instead.
Nice.
That's rad.
So, yeah, it starts rippling towards you, and you just summon that double.
Unfortunately, that does not pay off. So I do still take the damage anyway, but I do have at least my clone activated, I guess.
Yeah. So your double activates, and you're like, ha ha! It's gonna block me, and you don't notice that it's actually just kind of floating like a foot off the ground.
Oh, come on!
Shockwave still comes and hits you.
Yeah.
So, and Sally, you as well take one ice damage.
Sally, a little like bit of fire kind of bursts out of one side of their eye, and they pat it out. No, not right now.
Oh my god.
Yeah, taking two damage there. Tiago's looking starting to look a bit rough, below half health.
Oh. All right. Well, that is going to be the end of my turn. And the helicopter just kind of like did a drive-by, so it's flying off into the distance.
A question about, are combats fully routing the enemy? Like, we need to remove all threats? Or is it if you kill the boss, the rest are like, oh, my bad?
I would say normally it could be just kill everybody, but you all are horrifying enough that... Well, some of you are horrifying enough that I believe, you could scare off quite a few of them once you take the head of the snake.
I think, upon that wave hitting, like, most of us, Tiago, like, just looks exasperated and points to the boss. It's like, well, go on, get her. Get her ass. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you still here?
Jeez.
Damn.
There is Tiago grinds his teeth and it like makes a sound. It's like loud.
Oh, no.
Jesus. All right. So now we start back at the top of the order with Sally.
You said the helicopter's flying away from us, yeah?
Yeah.
It just came
by to do damage, and then it's flying away.
Is it far?
I would say it's near at this point.
It's near? Okay. Then I will. And are the fuckers in the sniper fuckers, are they still in that
the
hidden
old
in that tower?
Sniper fuckers.
Sniper fuckers.
They weren't in a tower or anything. They were hidden. They were camouflaged, like hiding behind stuff. They haven't made any moves as far as you know, but you did see two people, one ice, one electric appear next to the management and start attacking.
Okay. Rethinking. Hold, please. Sorry.
Not a problem.
Okay, then I think I'm gonna... Sally is gonna go prone for a second. Lay on their back. And take out Princess Punch. Prop it on the ground. And just send a gout of fire straight up at the helicopter.
All right. Roll that beautiful carnage footage.
Carnage. 2, 3, 4, 5. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Double sixes.
Oh, yeah. All right. So how much damage does that do?
It is 2 explosive.
Oh, 2 explosive. Okay, yeah. I'll say that... I'm so sorry.
No, that's wrong. That's wrong. It's 2 fire, because I was looking at the wrong one.
Okay, not a problem. All right, so that's 2 fire. So, yeah, the helicopter's on fire, and it's, like, it's not looking great. It's still going. It's definitely trying to get the hell out of there now, but it is definitely taking quite a bit of damage, and is on fire right now.
And then I'm going to use my Babysitter's Club, pop myself back up, and just swing it through the air, and it extends whip-like, like golden, like molten gold, up toward the helicopter, and is gonna try and like wrap around the rotors to just completely destroy them and bring it crashing down.
All right, that is going to be, I think that is gonna sound. I think that's going to be cool, unless you want to argue something else, because that's pretty dope to take your bat and whip down a helicopter with it.
It is cool as hell, I would agree. Much though I want to be anything else, because I only have 1 in cool, which is now 2 in cool. But I'm okay with that. That it is.
It just
rad.
Means you're too cool.
Jesus.
No regrets.
Here we go. This is going to be great.
Yep.
A 6.
Okay.
Okay. So you do that. You whip up. And how much damage does it do?
2 non-Euclidean.
All right. So you do that, and they're, like, trying to get away. They're freaking out because they thought it was supposed to be just a drop and go and, you know, help out the boss and get the hell out of there. And then all of a sudden, they feel a massive shake as your whip extends, hits the fan, and instead of just being obliterated, kind of just spreads out somebody hit it with like a sticky bomb, and it just sticks all over and stops the rudders exactly where they are. Like it gets sticky, creates the connections between the blades and the helicopter itself, and instantly solidifies. And so it just, like, you see as it's spinning around, that happens, it solidifies, and then, like, halfway through each one of the blades just kind of snaps from the sudden change in momentum. Nice. That shatters, and then you see the helicopter just go and just dive until it crashes and explodes.
Sally, as the camera pans back to Sally with the explosion in the background, you see that the transformation has gone even farther. The crocodile teeth that they had been storing in their cheek have now replaced all of their incisors, so all of their front teeth are sharp crocodile teeth, still in braces, but they've just kind of morphed into that, and their frame is kind of flickering a little bit and turning a bit of a different color.
Oh, God. All right. So, yeah, you take out the helicopter, which I had not even put up there as an enemy, but...
You got
hell
it.
Yeah.
No more attacks from above!
So only that will below. Officially... That will disable the, lair action for these guys now.
Then Sally will run. Can I transport... can I transport a health over to Russell?
No, as soon as you grab it, it absorbs into you.
Great, then I'm not going to touch it.
All right. You do notice your bat doesn't come back.
That's so fair. That's really valid.
The bat's having a time.
So
there's like a moment of holding their hand out and then like, yeah. No, that's... You'd served me well.
I'm no longer worthy.
So, yeah. So then, Russell, it's your turn.
So Russell's going to go after the big bad.
Mm.
Hey there, it's Bees again, and welcome to the mid-roll. I paused the game real quick to drop some knowledge on you. Get gaming fast with the Ultimate Micro RPG book, including brand new micro RPGs created by experts across the gaming world. From space exploration to jungle dungeon crawlers, this book has everything you need to pick up and play today. With these quick start games, you can create your own adventures alone or with friends without any prep and with minimal setup and pieces. Whether you're new to RPGs or working towards your level 20 mage, this collection is a great way to try out different games and systems and test your roleplay skills on different character types and situations. Pick it up anywhere nerdy necessities are sold. Did you know the listener surveys for the one-shot host auditions are out? Patrons can find links on Patreon, and our lovely public feed listeners can find them at oneshotpodcast.com. Please go fill those out to show some love to all these talented hosts and show support to your favorite. Now it's time for one final nugget of wisdom from Big Beez's Big Bag of Bad Facts. Game Hacks 101. Never save before a boss fight. That triggers the game to make the boss harder so you die more. Instead, the longer you go without saving, the lower the difficulty automatically drops. And with that, a quick word from our sponsors.
So Russell's going to go after the big bad.
Mm.
Okay. And Aaron doesn't remember what element the big bad is.
Electric. Mm-hmm.
I think Russell's gonna keep her in the family and keep using that Macbeth weapon because I'm going after those stacks.
It's like a 7 damage gun at this point, right? If you hit.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I do have to keep spending ammo, so I'm about to run out of that anyway.
Understandable.
So Russell's still in his little like pod area with his folding chair and his igloo cooler, and he's just picking out enemies and just firing PBR cans at him at this point. Nothing special. nothing out of the ordinary here. Just projectile cans.
All right.
So
you got the three guardians next to you. The two stalkers and the management near.
Okay, I actually, before I do this on the main enemy, I'm going to activate Ace High. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to use one stack to deal one ice harm.
Oh, nice. To that person? Or?
Yeah, to the big bad.
Okay. So they take one ice harm. Alrighty. And then...
Cool it, motherfucker.
Then... All right. So, Canny, you're firing this can.
I have rolled a 4.
Oh.
How much damage does it do?
So, it would be 4 plus 2 now because I'm stacking. I'm stacking 6. The same weapon. Okay.
And what kind of damage is it?
Explosive.
Oh, shit. Okay. So... You do this. You're sitting there blasting cans all over the place, and finally you aim and you see that they stand up, and Tiago's kind of still knelt down a little bit, and they raise that katana, and you know they're about to just behead Tiago. And you fire, like, you just charge as much as you can and fire that cannon, and it blows the barrel on the gun. But that can launches out. And that can hits, like, it, like, you see it, like, in an anime, just flies, and then you see, like, it breaks a barrier and catches fire, and then flies even faster, and as soon as they go to, like, behead Tiago, it hits the sword, shatters the sword, and then hits them dead in the chest, and detonates.
Oh, damn.
And so what happens here is that it detonates, dealing 6 damage.
Wow.
And they have 7 HP.
Mm.
But since it's explosive and they're electric, it does 1 extra damage.
Nice.
Yes.
So as this happens, it lodges, like the can lodges in their chest, and they stumble back, and they look at the broken sword, look at you, and then look at Tiago, and just like goes, no matter what happens, I won't pose with you, and detonates.
Wow.
Right there. And with that, like, you hear a, and as the smoke clears, you see that magnum fall and hit the ground and spark off a little electricity. And as that happens, the rest of the guys there are like, oh, shit. And they, especially because it wasn't like you guys just beat them down. It was just like a slash and then boom goes the dynamite and their boss is gone. So they all haul ass. They hop on top of the airship that was there, and that son of a bitch starts hauling ass. And what you didn't see was behind it, behind that airship, was a weird gate etched into a mountain. And everybody roll me a D6, please.
Sure.
After Russell fires off that can, he under his breath, he goes, I call that one the Bruzooka.
Oh, can I throw the button from the old man at the people as they fly by so that they know who did it?
Yeah, you throw, actually, yeah, roll me a D6. Let's see.
Oh, yeah, we were supposed to do a thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 5. You launch it, and it, like, it hits the top of the airship, and you're like, shit, I missed. And then it, like, falls and, like, hits a guy on the head. And they're like, what the fuck? And they hit it, and you see it activate, and a big hologram comes out with just the old man's face. And he's like, you're my bitch now.
Making dreams come true.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fly so on, old man.
Everybody heads out, and you're sitting there with this gate. And what did everybody roll on their D6?
3.
5 here.
2.
All right. James.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody else roll a 5 or higher?
Yet.
No? Okay. So, James, Deborah, in her long, long life, would know what this is.
Okay.
This is a Stygian lock. This is, like, for most people that live on Daemon, this is a fable. It is a old wives' tale. It is something that is, it's a legend that is passed around that pretty much ignites passion in adventurers, and anyone who's not adventuring just laughs at them about, because they're like, yeah, that doesn't exist. There are no Stygian locks. Somebody may have come across one in the past, but it's already been raided, so y'all are out of luck. You know, that's the reason these corpos keep coming to the planet, is because they're searching for these Stygian locks. And it seems that by doing this old man's quest to piss these guys off, they were doing a little more than just trading goods. They were moving product, but also as soon as they were done, apparently going to try and access this Stygian lock. So you know what this is. Everyone else is like, huh, that's weird.
Tiago is distracted by the fact that the person that he was fighting died not by his own blade. You motherfucker! Fucker! Goes around, picks up the magnum, and starts firing at Russell. Being a melee kind of like unit, his aim is piss poor. All of these shots go wide as he's like walking towards Russell. I was supposed to kill him myself. How fucking dare you?
Russell doesn't get it, and he's just like thumbs up, like, yeah,
You, oh yeah, it's you like celebration shots.
As you're walking toward him, there's just an explosion in the like middle distance. My countdown ended that I did on the first round. So something in the distance just goes, and there's like just five explosive damage just in the distance to someone or something.
Whoever's in that. Oh my god.
They're like, oh, thank God we got away.
That's enough arguing, my pretties. Gather your blood, gather your bullets. I see a way for you to repay me after all. Through the Stygian lock.
The fuck is a Stygian lock?
You all have heard of a Stygian lock. That is, like, you've heard stories of it. You've never seen it before, but when she says that, you're like, oh shit. When we came here to look for treasure, they a lot of people were laughing and joking, but they said that's where, like, you want some treasure? You want a shit ton of treasure? That's what you need to find.
Why didn't you just say the treasure door? That would make more sense. What does Stygian, like, even mean? Like, what?
Jeez, I thought you were telling all tall tales like a 20-inch muskie.
I am not going to dumb down anything I say for you or anyone else!
You know what? Fair. So what's inside the lock, then? Me. Totally on the bed.
Well, if you're lucky, it'll be enough gold to pay me back.
Bees, I've got a question. We've got ammo and health on the ground. I'm assuming that we'll have time to gather that before we have to go through the lock.
You got plenty of time to just grab all that.
So what's everybody's bullets and health at? Because I don't think we have enough health to go around for everybody, but probably enough bullets. It depends.
Oh, let me roll a D6 real quick for that last boom boom. That's another health. So you have 4 health and 4 bullets.
All right. I'm at 5 out of 8. I would love some bullets, though. 5 out of 8 for health, but I'm 3 out of 7 for bullets. So if I could grab like 2 bullets, I'd be pretty happy.
Hey, I'm good. I think for sure. I would love a point of health. I'm 4 of 6 on bullets, but an additional point of health to bring me to halfway would be great.
I don't need any health. I'm just 1 down. So y'all should take all the health.
All right.
And I also have a thing that kind of regenerates my bullets if I use Princess Punch. Mm. So I'm okay without bullets.
Go heal yourself, Russell. You got your ass kicked.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take 2 of those health then.
Yeah, I think it should be 2 and 2 between Nathan and then if I could grab one more bullet, I would be pleased as punch. That'll bring me up to 6 out of 7. That'll.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How many bullets are left after all that? You've taken 3.
I've taken 3, so there should be 1 left, right?
I'll take one more. Yeah. Go up to 5 bullets of 6.
I got 3 of 7 at the moment.
If you take that bullet, it's fine.
You sure? Because right, I didn't want to speak for it there.
No, it's all good. I have enough to still do my abilities without having to fuss too much, so we're good.
All right, well, you know, I won't forget her. We'll throw the next one to you there. How's that sound there?
As you know what? I mean, you're cute and all, but like, if there's treasure inside the treasure door, sorry, the Stygian lock with as many.
Yes, the Stygian lock.
As long as there's like good treasure inside there, I don't think I want to hang out with you afterwards. I just want the treasure that I can get home.
I figure you can have whatever there's in there, because I already been to Sturgeon Bay, so, you know.
So, Nathan, I will let you know that the weapon you picked up, I will let you name it, but it is a mythic magnum by Artemis that does 4 harm near. It is electric. It by having electric, the perk is it does an additional +2d6 attacks made with canny. And its special ability, its quirk, is chain reaction.
So this theoretically is actually a very good gun for Tiako. Yeah. I mean, we've established the energy. And you said it's a magnum. I think it has engraved like on the hilt of it. It's the extra large magnum with open brackets for his pleasure, close brackets. Yeah, that's nice. That's the name of the gun, for his pleasure. There we go. Perfect.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
There we go. So, you have this Stygian lock. What do you do?
So, the Stygian lock looks like a portal in the side of the mountainside.
So
it's kind of the framing, but there is no like wibbly energy in the doorway.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yep.
Sally has run up to it and is just like trying to find writing around the sides or just get any kind of vibe on what's going on with it.
I think for the sake of expediency, I'm going to have Deborah, like, you know, will have shifted back into the black cloak clothing, but she'll have grabbed both of her breasts and, like, swing them like Thor's hammer.
Yeah, as you do. As you do.
Throw them forward to just send herself hurtling through the Stygian lock. As she cackles away.
As soon as you
away.
Touch it, everyone else sees, as soon as she's cackling and touches the lock, she vanishes. And in her place, you see just this figure appear. And it first is just standing there and looks up, and its face is just a myriad of eyes. And they all look towards, like, all the eyes are looking in different directions at all of you. And then you see eight wings come out. And this thing, as soon as it appears, does 2 damage to everyone. Just
what
by
kind?
Being
Oops,
there.
Sorry, two, didn't think that would happen. Yeah.
2 horror damage. So,
it does 2 non-Euclidean,
which we just take because we're not specced for that. So,
yep.
Nope.
So, now
I wasn't.
Yeah, this
I didn't wear
here,
the proper clothes for damage to my imagination.
So yeah, you all are there. This thing is there, and all of a sudden, the camera switches back to Deborah, and all you hear, you're in a dark room, and you just hear, "Give us your secrets."
I'm sorry, you're going to have to speak up. My hearing isn't as good as it used to be.
Give us your secrets.
Oh, someone like you should know. A woman like me doesn't keep too many secrets, and the ones that I do are close to my chest.
I think once again, she'll throw back her robe and, like, take out her 2 guns, just, like, pointing them into the darkness, firing out, again, like, as her breasts, I think, like, wrap around her neck like a scarf, and just, like, bouncing around.
Do they wobble
too?
I was
going
to say, when you throw back your robe, do your breasts throw back as well?
Yeah. they go back and they, like, wrap around.
Oh, my gosh.
So that happens, and then we switch back out to everyone out there seeing this horrific figure standing around and just looks at you all and starts just making sounds. You can't hear any words, but the longer you hear the sounds, the more your head hurts.
Tiago's like, "This sucks, actually. I'm gonna go and get, like, the treasure. Have fun, kids." And I didn't actually spend this during the fight. I'm gonna pop 3 bullets to activate dash step, teleport anywhere instantly. Is just the ability.
Nice.
You can even use it as a reaction to being attacked, so you can cancel an attack by being elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to spend 3 bullets and just be inside the portal now, or like on the other side of this literal demon, and touch the kind of like portal wall and move to the other side.
So as you touch it, you vanish as well, and this thing looks back. Looks at you, and you see its head separate from its body, and you notice that it's not separating, but these are two entities.
Ooh.
And so there is one that just has hands, like two hands and wings, and is just moving like this, slowly sliding towards you all. And the other thing is just a circle with eyes moving towards you two. And yeah, that thing is coming at you. And Tiago, same thing. Dark room, you see nothing around you, and it just says, "Give us your secrets."
Well, again, despite having three canny, Tiago is incredibly dumb. I don't normally tell people this, but I'm not actually a real blonde.
Can we hear this?
I'm like, nope.
Oh.
Thank God. Guest.
The illusion is still there for us.
Yeah.
You just hear it. It's silence for a little bit, and then you hear, "Give us your secrets." And then we're going to pan back to the other two being
accosted.
You're facing off with these two horrifying visages of creatures.
Sally, who has been next to the portal this entire time, will look at Russell, look at the things, say, "I'm giving you one chance to get the fuck in here," and I'm gonna attack one of them with Princess Punch before I step backward into the portal.
All right. So before that happens, Russell, what do you do?
Well, Russell takes the hem of his pants where his belt is, and he kind of shucks up his pants a little bit.
Hell yeah.
And he starts running, which to him is kind of like a skip because he doesn't run very often. And he goes into a roll, and as he does his roll, he's going to take out the Shockwave Stout shotgun and fire it upwards into the nearest horror creature as he tries to somersault his way through a portal.
All right, roll. I'm gonna do roll canny for
roll
that.
Canny, all right.
As cool as you want it to be, the run and everything else. It's a cool move, but you
temper it.
Cool
yeah.
Most of it. You know what? That's okay for me because I'm much better at canny. So, thankfully, the extra die. I'm gonna say that's the one that rolled the six. I was able to roll a six. I do get an extra harm for every six I roll. And that is electric damage.
So how much damage is that?
It's just two.
Two? Okay. So three in total?
Yes.
With the extra damage? Okay.
No. Two total. Yeah, with the extra damage.
Oh, two
damage.
Total.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then, yeah, you hit the one without the eyes, and it, like, just, like...
It blinks?
Moves back slowly. It leans back. And then leans towards you, and you just see the hands start to move towards you like the it's trying to reach out but also sense you, and yeah, it's horrifying. So what do you do after that shot?
Well, I am trying to somersault through the portal. I don't know if I quite make it, but
you're a badass. Of course you do.
Yeah,
you get a chance. You get the choice of touching that lock or fighting this creature.
So the problem with Russell is that anytime that he sees a hand going towards him, he does feel the
you
need.
Think it's a handshake?
He does feel the need to give it the old handshake. So he stops himself from going through the portal, and he stands up. Gets his fanny pack on straight, and he goes, put her there, and he. Russell Majakowski, amateur brewer here. Good to meet you. How's the family?
It gives a handshake
to this horror.
But as soon as it grabs your hand, it just takes the other one and backhands you.
Actually, to interrupt.
And you take
since
two harm.
I think there was a shot from the Princess Punch that was fired but has not landed. It feels like this would be a...
Yeah.
I haven't fired it yet.
No, it fired. So,
I had a thing I wanted to do.
Okay, what's the thing? Because I had an idea of something happening as well.
Save this idiot.
Yeah. Well, they took out Princess Punch like they were going to shoot it as they were aiming up with it.
Yeah.
And as they look at it, all of their skin kind of peels away, and they turn into this, like, impish gray-black shadow monster thing. It's got, they've got, like, tiny little wings, some little horns that kind of start sprouting between their braids.
Mm-hmm.
And Sally, the 11-year-old, is gone, but Sally, the demon child, is there. And they look up at the beast. Hi, uncle. And then and then they'll just wait. And then I'm gonna wait and see if uncle lets go of Russell.
So it looks so the one with the eyes, like all the eyes dart toward you. And it like goes to look back, but the hand is already in motion to slap the hell out of Russell. And there's just a golden flash. And you hear a thoom. And once that like flash goes away, you see the bat floating there that protected Russell's face.
She's here.
And then, it's just sitting there like floating and just slithers down onto the ground and back into your hand and reforms to a bat.
I've never loved anything like I love you, bat.
you can feel it purring.
They are still wearing their Hello Kitty shirt and their embroidered jean jacket.
Oh, yeah. So then, Russell, at this point, it lets go. Do you touch the Stygian lock or want to converse with this thing?
No, I think... As it started to go slap him, he was like, geez, that's quite the handshake you got there. And he like kind of shakes his hand off. And he I don't think he meant to go into the Stygian lock, but he like lost his balance like and just kind of backs into it.
And then he vanishes and the creatures look at you, Sally, and then just like they combine once more. Walk toward you and raise their hand and bring it down toward you, and like everyone watching is like, oh god, but then afterwards like there's no scream or anything like that, and it just like the camera looks back down to you two and it's just like tussling your hair and then pats you on the head.
Thanks, uncle. And then they'll roll backwards into the Stygian lock.
All right, so now it says the same thing to everyone. Give us your secrets. What do? You all have one chance.
Hey, Tiago gave up what he considers a genuine secret, but
Do we all hear this?
And then Sally?
Do we all hear this?
Oh, no, you don't hear each other at all.
I mean, do we hear the
give us your secrets? Oh, you all hear the give us your secrets, yes.
Sally goes, look at me. I was a little girl 4 seconds ago, and now I'm a demon. That's a pretty big fucking secret.
All right, Russell.
So Russell sheepishly puts his hands into the front pockets of his jeans, and he kind of looks around just to make sure that nobody else is looking. And he puts his hand up, and he kind of makes the, you know, come closer, sort of. Just come here. So, listen here, don't let this out get around or anything, but I may have last year, you know, put the money line on the Bears to score more than 30 in a game, and I, you know, I'm not proud of it, and I knew it was a bad idea, but you know, I was on the Twitters, and I got kind of caught up in the hype, so you know, that's the thing, and I'm, like I said, not proud of it, but you know, I done it, so just don't put her all over town, though, are you?
Well, I suppose I tried spraying the room down with hot soup, and that doesn't seem to have changed my circumstances at all, so I suppose it's time to reveal that I didn't own the cottage that was destroyed. I was just trying to extort treasure out of you. I rent.
Scandalous.
Sorry to you, random strangers who destroyed the rental property that I was occupying. I still feel within my rights to have asked for compensation, but it wouldn't be enough to replace the whole cabin. That's the awful truth.
Do you have good renter's insurance?
And you don't hear any other sound, but you see a little bead of light. All of you see a little bead of light, and it just floats in front of you. And then a grand flash that blinds you. And once you you blink your eyes and once you're able to see again, you look around and it is just a vault of gold, jewels, but mostly weapons all over the place. And these aren't the raggedy ass weapons you've come across. These aren't the ones that you got from this old man that put you on the quest. These are like pristine, like alien looking weapons. These are all just epic ass creations that are just beyond the definition mm-hmm. of badass. And you all spend as much time as you need to going through all this as the camera just kind of, as it starts to back up, you see that the creature has come through the Stygian lock and is just standing there watching you all, hands put together, just patiently watching you all. You'll see most of the eyes are focused on Sally just because, you know, family.
Sally just like trots up on like holding up different weapons and goes, "Look at this one. Wait, what about this one?"
And you'll see every once in a while ones that aren't good fits for Sally, they touch and those weapons vanish.
Just nudge them out of the way.
Yeah. And then the ones that'll be great fits for them, they just, they again, pat on the head. And then the camera just zooms out as you all enjoy the treasures that you've been looking for. And
before the camera zooms out, Russell makes the motion again. Come to the eyeball monster.
And the camera zooms
zooms in again. And he kind of leans into the eyeball monster and he goes, I don't know where your ears are. I see a lot of eyes, but I'm just going to trust you can hear me. I got another one to give you because it's really been weighing on my chest. And you see like a single tear come out of Russell's eye. And he's like, I never told nobody this before, but I'm lactose intolerant. I know. Yeah, I know I'm sorry to have deceived you. And he breaks down and starts crying.
It puts a hand on your shoulder and snaps a finger and something materializes in front of you.
Oh.
And it's a there's a tag on it. And the tag says IPAK-47.
This is even better than a winter wheat whopper.
And that is where we're going to end our game.
I would love a selfie Excellent. Taken from Tiago takes a selfie. Posed next to Deborah, both in like in your kind of like Tesla bikini, both posing like duck clipsing.
Yeah,
and in the background we see like Sally carrying a way too large gun, ecstatic, and Russell just inconsolable in tears, like kneeling somewhere in the background.
I've never wanted artistic prowess more than this moment to draw this tableau.
There's a point where you're doing a photo shoot and Deborah's just sitting there with a like Marilyn Monroe dress on, but it's not just the dress she's holding down, she's also holding down her breasts that are flailing wildly. Yep.
Oh my god. That Incredible. Was so, yes. absolutely
Thank
wild.
You all
Jesus Christ. Thank you so much.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
This episode of One Shot uses music from the following artists: Detonation Blues by Fillmore, Midday March by Fairlight, Square One by Avocado Junkie, Fight by Brightseed, JNTR by Sam Barsh, Cyber Racer by Luna Ray, and No Escape by Wicked Cinema. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy.
As they say, all good things must come to an end. Thus concludes our finale of our one-shot, Gunfucks. Tune in next week for the start of another amazing adventure. I want to take a minute to thank all of my phenomenal players, One Shot, for giving me this unbelievable opportunity, and I just want to thank all of you lovely listeners for allowing me to entertain y'all with something that brings me so much joy. But before you go, as always, we end our episodes here at One Shot with a call to action. Please, 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 head to itch.io/2120/games-4-Gaza and donate $10 for 256 wonderful games if you can. If you can't, please share the link and spread the word. Games for Gaza is a bundle of variety games that gives 100% of its proceeds to Medical Aid for Palestinians, a UK-based nonprofit working for the health and dignity of Palestinians. I urge you to also go to 5calls.org and speak to your representatives and let them know you support a ceasefire in Gaza. Thank you to all of our patrons. Your support helps keep all this greatness going. If you want to support us in a non-monetary way, share the show with friends. Put up posters on light poles. Climb to a very high mountain or building and scream how much you love One Shot to humankind and nature alike. Or just tell your guildmates they need to start listening or no heels in the next raid. Oh, also, please leave some 5-star reviews on iTunes. They increase our visibility, and written reviews help others find us. For example, this has been one hell of a journey with all the one-shot hosts, all the different one-shots that are going on. Just this entire thing has been amazing. We love bees. We love everyone else. We can't wait for a one-shot with all the finalists playing together at the same time. You know, just an idea if you need one. Thank you all once again for everything. Please tune in next week and take care of yourselves. Peace.
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at GameMaster@OneShotPodcast.com. One-Shot is a production of the One-Shot Podcast Network, in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes. We are adventurers. We've been to every place. In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.